Going to continue the show now by having our regularly scheduled conversation with the Orange Partnership. It's time for Bridging the Gap, where on the first Friday of each month, we meet local partners working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. This week, or this month, we're talking with Vicki Feaster-Fornville, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education member and 2025 Pauli Murray Award winner. So thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Also returning to Bridging the Gap, we've got Victoria Fornville, the North Carolina educator and winner of the statewide e-learning advisor of the year from last year. So welcome back once again.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
And we talked about this a little bit the last time you were here, but it's been a while. It's been like a year, right? It's close to a year.
Yes.
But I did want to get into just generally speaking what the Orange Partnership does. It's a coalition working for healthy communities, focuses efforts on enhancing protective factors that reduce the likelihood of young people turning to substance abuse. I'm just going to have you each kind of talk about how what you do fits into this and how you got involved with the Orange Partnership. And we will start with Vicki Feaster-Fornville.
Okay, the partnership. It is an awesome organization. It's a coalition of different groups within Orange County whose goal is really to help our kids be their best selves and to make sure that we do the best we can to help them have substance-free lives and to be mentally well. And the work that I do, I'm a parent and an advocate of students first and foremost, and I'm also a community ambassador in that I try to connect things that we do in the coalition, like mental wellness, talking about parents discussing hard topics with their children, and going into the schools and into the community, trying to do just what this program is called, Bridging the Gap, to bring them all together.
It's the voice of Vicki Feaster-Fornville. We're also joined by Victoria Fornville. What about you?
So as previously mentioned, I am indeed an educator and I work with high school students. I was introduced to the coalition through my mother. And honestly, I'm always an advocate for our students. And anytime that they really need someone to kind of jump in, be boots on the ground, that's where I'm at. So that's how I've been able to work with them on different activities in the past.
I'm going to speculate, maybe paint with a broad brush here a little bit, but with your specific role as an e-learning advisor, I feel like a lot of people, you know, some people end up in the e-learning program for, you know, a variety of reasons, but there are a lot of people in there that are in there because the traditional educational model doesn't fit for them. That means that they've kind of been, you know, square pegged for a bunch of their educational career. And that also opens up a lot of the other issues that the Orange Partnership talks about. So I feel like you've got a set of students that have a little bit more of these external challenges for the most part. Is that something that you notice in your interactions with them? Is that, you know, as a former educator, I know a different group of students, there's always a different vibe to that. So is that something that you feel when you're in a group with those students?
Absolutely. So like you said, I do have a very diverse and different in a great way group of students. I tend to have students, some who are overachievers, very high achieving students who are able to be kind of self-sufficient. And they may be taking additional courses on top of their regular in-person course load. But I 9 times out of 10 have more so students who are on that untraditional pathway, credit recovery students, students who may have to work during school hours. So they're taking virtual classes so that way they can support themselves and their families. Students who, again, I said credit recovery, but not just that, students who may have failed courses 2 and 3 times and now they're working with me to be able to get themselves to graduate on time. And I've learned a lot in my past 2 years working with those students about not just the resiliency that our students have, but just how much you can really support a student and advocate for students, especially the ones that are facing certain adversities.
It's the voice of Victoria Fornville. We're also visiting with Vicki Feaster-Fornville. And I wanted to kind of circle back around on some of the stuff that you said that it's important to you and why you're connected with the Orange Partnership. How much of that is able to influence your work on the school board? Is it just kind of like a lens that you look at everything through, or do you feel like you actually have an opportunity to advocate with the school board as being a member? Is where do you land on how this work fits in?
Oh, I definitely feel that if I am a boots on the ground person doing something and I get to see a different perspective and vantage point of different interactions with students, I do share it with board members, staff, admin. I believe in taking it in and sending it right back out so that our students' voices and parents and community voices are able to be shared in rooms where they aren't there, because one of the best things that we can do for students are being willing to meet them where they are, and they're not all in the same spaces. And really, when it comes down to it, they can accept what you have to say if they know you are authentic and willing to listen to what they have to say back. So I make sure that if it's something that students have said to me, and I often tell people that I like to hear students discuss items that they want to talk about when adults aren't in the room. So I'll ask them, is it okay for me to share space? And I just want to sit in the back and listen and tell them that I'll take their stories and I don't have to take their names. So I think that it's crucial that if you're going to be an advocate for a child, that you have to be willing to sit in the hard space for them and to protect them at all costs and do the best you can.
It is August, and that means that people are kind of gearing up for back to school, and it's kind of getting real. Being in the stores, we've been gearing up for back to school since like the week after school let out. But it's getting real for us now. We're almost going back, and you know, I've been having versions of this conversation for Bridging the Gap for a few years now, and all that time I am taking this information home with me, and it's informing the lines of communication that I keep open with my kids. But my oldest is going into seventh grade now, and I feel like this is like a more real conversation. Mm-hmm. He just spent a year in a middle school building, and the changes are noticeable.
Yes.
So as we get back into school, kind of open this up for both of you, it's obviously a good time to start that conversation on substance use and strategies to avoid peer pressure. Let's talk a little bit about what those conversations maybe should look like. Just if you have any thoughts on how that maybe should proceed, and I'll be listening with even more specific intent of applying this information.
You want to start, or you want me?
I can start. I would definitely say, coming from an educator who is not a parent but is relatively young, it's really important that parents aren't afraid to have those conversations with their students and also be really honest with them. I know for me, working in a high school, we do see students who do come in with different things that could be considered contraband, of course, and they do get confiscated and there are consequences for it. But I'm really big on also talking to our students and explaining why you are receiving those consequences and the actual detrimental factors that those substances can have on them, not just on their brain, but on their bodies, that their bodies and brains aren't ready to handle those things, and there's a reason why they're illegal. And I think also our schools do a great job about having R3 centers that are different from the traditional in-school suspension, because in those spaces they're supposed to also be able to reflect on what happened and actually be able to get resources and have that communication on, okay, this was the incident that I was involved in, and this is how I can sit here and restore and get back into my classroom space and move forward without it being something that's held against me. And I think that's really important too, that when we're talking to our students, and it's inevitable that they're going to mess up, we all make mistakes, but not wanting to always criticize them for those mistakes, but letting them know we're sitting here giving you this consequence because we're concerned, and that concern is coming from a place of love, and we want to make sure that you're making those correct decisions moving forward into your adulthood lives.
It's the voice of Victoria Forenville, the 2025 e-learning advisor of the year in the state of North Carolina. I wanted to follow up there because you did a thing that I've been guilty of many times as an educator in the past, and that's throw out a few letters that mean something really specific in a school building that everybody else is like, I don't know what category we're in quite. So I feel like that work, that restorative type of, I even hesitate to use the word discipline, that really feeds well into what the Orange Partnership's doing with Bridging the Gap. So I wonder if you could explain that a little bit more. I think you said 3R. Is that what it was?
Of course. So R3. you're fine. And essentially that space, like I was saying, in contrast to what most people know as in-school suspension, it's a space where students if they do receive that term of, okay, that student did something to the level of discipline that requires in-school suspension, opposed to putting them in a classroom and saying, here's your work, and, you know, bye, they're sent into a space that is referred to as R3, and it's meant to be a restorative space built on restorative practices. And the goal is to be able to reflect, reset, and then restore. And so going within that space, and I go and I visit my students, and that's encouraged with all educators, that if your students are brought down there, that you are able to come and visit them throughout the day to see how they're doing, to check in, discuss what happened, and then try to give them some motivation and insight to get back into your classroom. And especially with me being a virtual, well, not me as a virtual teacher, but having virtual students, I think it's really important that I do go down there, because 9 times out of 10, they're not having that direct interaction with me anyways. So being able, when something does arise with them, to be able to go and connect and actually understand, okay, what happened here? Where did we go wrong? And what can we do differently moving forward? And shout out to Mr. Greenberg. He actually is our R3 teacher at Chapel, and he's great. He's absolutely great, and he really tries to do his best in making that space as restorative as possible for students.
That's Victoria Fornville. We're also visiting with CHCCS school board member Vicki Feaster Fornville, and you're a few years ahead of me in the parenting. How do you talk to your kids about this sort of thing?
Well, my kids have been raised.
How did you talk to your kids?
My kids were raised with a retired probation parole officer. So they know that I was very intentional and authentic about the facts. I wanted them to understand from a very young age that we can talk about anything. It's more important that we do talk about what you see, what you hear, and most importantly, what you feel about what you see and what you hear. So before they ever got to middle school, we had to have a conversation about what things look like, what people will say to get you to do different things. I've always been one to say, let's just sit down and talk about it. Sometimes they're more uncomfortable than I am. And then there are times when I'm like, it's going to be okay, though, because at this point in time, you need to know that if I don't talk to you about it, somebody else will try to talk to you about it. And they're not going to be honest if they're trying to get you to do what they want you to do. So that's my approach to substance abuse or use. That's my approach to mental wellness. That's my approach to peer pressure, because I feel like if we can sit and have that open communication and they know that it's not about punishment and it's not about discipline in that moment, I want them to know so that when they go into school, whether it's middle school and sometimes elementary even, they don't have that huge shock value, because they can be like, oh, my mom already showed me a picture of this, or my mom shared with me that different people have had to go into court, or they can end up here if they do this, or in the hospital. I make sure I discuss with them about the fact that their brains haven't developed, and if they're doing certain things before their brain is ready, they may not ever be able to really experience such joy that we have when our brain is free from something that's attacking it. I don't ever want them to think that I'm perfect, and I let them know, by no means am I perfect, but I'm going to use everything in my wheelhouse to help you be your best self. And I feel that that's what we should do for all children.
I'm going to make an observation that is probably like universal across time periods, but it feels maybe a little bit different right now, given the internet and social media, and particularly for me with a middle schooler. I feel like kids have, in a lot of ways, like more context than kids have had in the past. They have more access to information. And there's also like these big, huge gaps where a thing you'd think that they know, they just haven't had any experience with or any exposure to. So it's like this confusing dichotomy where it's like, man, kids know so much more than they did when I was that age. But at the same time, there's big, huge pieces of the human experience that they haven't had that maybe we're filling in that for them as well. So it's, I guess that's a long roundabout way of saying that, like, you can't assume that the conversation doesn't need to happen.
Right. Correct. It's better to have more. There's a commercial that's on TV these days where there's a young person that's saying to his father, sometimes I just want somebody to let me yap to you. That's sometimes what we need to do, just let them go on about whatever it is they want to talk about. And at some point, you'll get around to something that's a little harder for them to talk about. And that's when you can jump right in and say, okay, so, and you can have that conversation without them feeling so uneasy. And you can take a breath and relieve. And it's like, even if it's something you don't know, be honest about it. It's like, well, you know what? You saw it on the internet and I haven't seen it before. Let's go Google it or go to wherever we need to go and learn together. So when, you know, that way they don't have to feel embarrassed about asking you about it and you don't have to feel embarrassed about not knowing the answer.
It's the voice of Vicki Feaster-Fornville. We're also joined by Victoria Fornville, and we are way over time already, so I'm going to skip ahead to just asking you both if there's anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up.
Anything? I think the biggest thing, just kind of piggybacking off of what you just said, it's really important that you do create those spaces for your students. A safe space, an understanding space. And yes, sometimes you do just need to let them yap. I have plenty of students who come and they talk, and they talk a lot. But when they do ask those questions, I'm really grateful that they feel comfortable enough to open up to me and know that that is a safe space and that what they share with me is confidential, unless it is something that needs to be reported, of course. But at the end of the day, my biggest goal with students is I would rather you ask me and we have that conversation and I refer you to where you need to go for that than you sit here and you rely on TikTok or ChatGPT or, you know, your friend who also doesn't know. And I think those are the biggest things, you know, that kind of is where that gap of knowledge is coming from. Our students have so much access to the internet, but anyone can put anything on the internet. And a lot of times they are targeting our students. So it's really important that they ask those trusted adults opposed to, let me just see what this says. What does Google say? And I'm going with that.
For me, I would want to follow by saying, go to Orange Partnership's website. We have lots and lots of information and resources and tools. There are webinars out there. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, they do Parent Power Hour. There are things that you can learn and touch in and get little nuggets that don't take a lot of time, but that will truly empower you to feel better about speaking with your students. An intergenerational conversation beats not talking any day of the week. The more that we can commit to being more communal, the better we'll be when it comes to talking about the next generation.
Well, this was an outstanding conversation. I appreciate you both taking the time to be here. But the big takeaway, talk to your kids. Just talk
Agreed.
To your kids. Mm-hmm. Vicki and Victoria, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by the Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. Find more information at orangepartnership.org.